Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word that we'll be reflecting on at least midway through the message comes to us from verse 48 of chapter 5 in the book of Matthew. It says, "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." You may be seated. So last week, we had a beautiful celebration here at St. Lawrence where some 1,400 of our community, our worshiping community, was able to gather together at various worship services and celebrate the heritage that we have here at St. Lawrence. And we were encouraged by Pastor Brandt towards the end of his message to use that gift, this gift of faith, to live out our mission, to be ambassadors, showing by word and deed how beautiful it is to live with Jesus. And that's the mission of this church. It's been the mission of this church from its foundation. But let me ask you a question. How easy is it to be an ambassador for Jesus, to show the love of Jesus to people who sin against you or hurt you or mean you harm or just outright hate you? That's what we're going to be reflecting on. How can we be an ambassador for Jesus in the face of difficult people? Jesus has a word. He means for us not to seek revenge or retaliation whenever we are wronged or we feel injured or maybe insulted. And so what he does is he's looking out at this group of people. He's gathered at the Sea of Galilee. He's preaching to the people who would be following him. And he says, recall a law, because I understand the times that you are living in. And so this is the law that he recalls. If there is harm, then you shall pay life for life, eye for eye, tooth for a tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, or stripe for stripe. And people knew what Jesus was talking about. This is if someone wronged you, you could go for this. At least that was what they were anticipating. If someone harmed you, you could do some various things. But Jesus was trying to correct some abuse of this particular law. You see, he understood that this law was given by God in Moses' time at a very violent time in the history of the world. Let me just give you a handful of examples of what that looked like. If somebody cheated you through dishonest means, like using inappropriate weights or cheating you through weights and measures, well, you had every right to kill him, right? Dads, you can store this one, but please don't use it, all right? If someone kissed your daughter without your permission, you could take him out. Violence, right? The idea was, if someone poked you once, you poke them back twice. If someone hits you, you stab them. If someone injured one of your family members, you kill one of theirs. If someone killed one of your family members, you take out 10 of theirs. And it just started to escalate. And God said, this can no more. And so he lays out a law that the civil realm could incorporate into its way of being. And the understanding was, the language of that law was to set an upper limit for the sentence, not to let things escalate and get out of control, so a court of law could pass down a punishment that was fitting of the crime. But the problem was, in Jesus' time, they, instead of using it as the upper limit, they went right for it and said, I have every right to see this person have this happen to them. They stole from me, so cut off their hand. It was this idea of retaliation. Don't we do that, though, also? I mean, if we're honest, if someone wrongs you, if someone sins against you, isn't it easy when you see them again to remember that hurt that, and you hold it against them? You kind of keep score. You may tell them about it, but sometimes what we really do is we kind of let it just sit. All right, I'm going to keep my eye on you. I'm going to watch you. We keep score. We want to get even. And more than get even, we want to get one up. We want to pay him back. But Jesus uses three examples to get us to think about our attitudes. He first talks about a slap across the right of your cheek. And for most people, you're right-handed. So if you think about physically how this happens, in order for you to be slapped in the right by someone who's right-handed, it has to be a backhand, okay? Right across the face. It's not an attack. It's an insult. You just got backhanded by somebody. Jesus says, if that happens to you, turn the other cheek. Jesus also starts to go to this understanding of a Roman occupation, where a Roman soldier had the right to compel people to surrender their resources so that they could use them. Or if the soldier wanted to, they could say, here, you carry my load. You carry the burden of what I have to carry. And they could do that for up to a mile. They simply just tap you with a spear, and that person would have to carry them away. Jesus says, if that happens to you, go more than 1 mile, go 2 miles. What's he getting at? He's trying to tell the people there gathered at the Sea of Galilee, he's trying to tell his church on this side of the resurrection to walk away from a culture of seeking quick revenge or quick retaliation or just wanting to insist on your own rights, defending. And that's not what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, rather, I would see you sacrifice your rights for the sake of others. And if that's not hard enough, Jesus actually calls us to love our enemies. People that hate us, people that mean us harm and want to hurt us, Jesus is saying, you love them. Sometimes people will hate you because rather than give them what they want, you give them what you need, what they need. Parents, don't you know that? Sometimes don't your parents, your kids get frustrated with you, maybe even say, I hate you, when you don't give them what they want, but you give them what they need, right? Sometimes that's what happens. The third example that Jesus gives is God himself, his heavenly Father. And Scripture talks about how God gives good weather and prosperity even to all wicked people. Even those that hate him and want nothing to do with him, God's showering down blessings on them. And as Christians, people who've been transformed in our relationship with him, who've been adopted into his kingdom, God wants us to live out that way also. It's a better way. He wants us to love even the dregs of society. He actually lays out an impossible expectation. He says, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So let me ask you, how's that going? Who here would just shout out, I'm perfect? All right, good. You're all in the right spot. Because we all need a Savior. I don't know about you, but there are times where sometimes I get a little hot under the collar. And it comes out of nowhere. Maybe there was an email that came across my desk and there was some wording and some phrase that, man, where's the respect? What is this person getting at? And you just want to send something back that's scathing and say, yeah, you have it. And then you get into this email exchange and it's just not good. Sometimes we use our mouth that God has given us to praise people to spread gossip. And rather than build up and encourage our neighbor, we hurt their reputation. What do we do? What do we do with all this? Hasn't there been times when there are some actions and some hardships that happened to you? And maybe if I go back to this idea of God raining down his blessings on good people and evil people alike, don't you wonder, Lord, what are you up to? Why is it that evil and wicked people can get away with things and they just seem to, why is that? And why can't you just wipe them out? And it's right there in that instance, as I start to think, take out the evil, that I come face to face with the cross of Jesus Christ. Because if you remember clearly from Scripture, Jesus came and Paul was inspired to write these words in Romans. He says, while we are still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And for one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would die. But God shows his love for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. See, here's the thing. When we want to take out evil and we're wondering, what are you up to, God? We forget the fact that we were God's natural born enemies. We were natural born enemies. And rather than wipe us out, God chose to send the perfect ambassador, his son Jesus Christ, to reconcile us back to him. And that's a beautiful gift. So when we can't be perfect, Jesus allows us beyond our abilities by giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he gives us a gift of forgiveness. And consider what Jesus endured. He endured more than a slap across the face at the hand of Roman soldiers and mockers. He was spit on. He was crucified. He marched more than a mile. He marched up to Calvary's cross and under great heavy weight, not just a beam of a wooden cross, but no, the weight of our sin. He carried all that. And in response to that, he gives us forgiveness and life and salvation. He gives us the robes of his righteousness. That's the perfect ambassador loving on us. And he does that while we were still weak and while we were God's enemies, his natural born enemies, God died for us. It's to his enemies, his natural born enemies, that he gives forgiveness, life, and salvation. It's to his natural born enemies that Jesus gave his heart. And that heart is for each and every single one of us. So how do we act as ambassadors for Jesus? We cling to the forgiveness that he's given us. We show that in our relationships with others. Do they deserve it? Heck no. They don't always deserve it. But we know that if we hold on to anger or hatred or malice, it eats us up from the inside. And God wants us to be free. So we cling to forgiveness and we give it, choosing to not hold that wrong against people, and rather just let God handle it. And we walk in the freedom of forgiveness, and we show Christian love, mercy, and compassion. We were once natural-born enemies. We are now children, sons and daughters of the Most High God, called to be ambassadors for him, showing by word and deed how beautiful it is to live for Jesus. Amen? Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and lives in Christ Jesus. Amen.